Welcome to the last Wednesday of the week, the multi-tool of sports podcasts. With highlights, interviews and deep dives into some meatier topics, no podcast brings you more sports on the last Wednesday of the week.
On this week's show,
with tyres still warm from testing and in lots of controversy, of course, to end the year, we're obviously talking about Formula One. We've rolled him out. We've rolled out Paul again for a 2022 Formula One season in review. We're not going to be singing its praises. I don't think that's a surprise, but there's lots to dive into still. So join me, Ben and Paul on this, the last Wednesday of the week. Hello, Ben. Hello, Paul. Welcome back.
Dan,
Accidentally, we've kind of done a beginning, middle and end with you, Paul. I think we intended on doing more Formula One throughout the season, but we've accidentally come up with quite a neat kind of a threesome of Formula One shows.
Well, I mean, we couldn't do any more than three, could we? Because it was such a rubbish season, wasn't it? So pleased it's over. I can't believe I've said that. I'm so pleased it's over. Roll that W13 into the vat of acid off of Batman. You know, that original Batman with Michael Keaton. Get it in the acid vat and never ever speak of it again.
Recycle it responsibly, Paul.
Yeah. Into a car for the W series. That's what you want to do.
Yeah, they'll have it at there. At the little breakers yard down by the train station by the end of this week.
It's not going to be in the Mercedes like headquarters, is it?
Well, we're going to get into it being a dreary season because we have beat on it a lot and we'll try and find some highlights where we can. But there's lots to get into despite it being a dreary season. So stick with us as we try and get through it. If you want to let us know how you found this season, whether you're a fan or not, were you a new fan this year and what did you think as your first season in Formula One? On behalf of Formula One, I'm sorry, it can do better. But you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Wednesday Pod on either. Okay, let's look at where we ended then, gents. Okay, so we ended with Max Verstappen taking, of course, his second world championship, and with it, Red Bull to their drivers' championship as well. How are we feeling about that, Paul? How do we feel about Max Verstappen walking his second championship?
Yeah, it was easy, wasn't it? Having overspent on your car. But it's a good car, isn't it? You've got Newey designing a car. It's an absolute bullet. We've said that. And, you know, he drives it. He's a driver. He does exactly what he's supposed to do.
Paul. He's a driver. It's on his resume.
It says Max Verstappen, driver.
It's what all taxi drivers have in common with race stars. You know, they all have driver at the top of their resume,
which is amazing. And he did a good job, didn't he? He won a load of races, probably more than anyone's ever won in a season with more races than there's ever been. And he bossed it, didn't he? Leclerc gave him a bit of a scare at the beginning. His car didn't finish a couple of races, and then it was pretty good, wasn't it? It was reliability wise after they brought Honda back in, kicking and screaming. They bossed it. They smashed it. They were dominant. They were quick. They had pace galore, didn't they? They managed races so very well. And then when someone that wasn't racing at the front got back in a car that was racing at the front, you know, he went back to old Max, didn't he? But he's done well. Well done to him. Congratulations to Red Bull. And let's hope next year it's a bit tighter and Ferrari can put the right amount of wheels on a car and Mercedes are a bit quicker. And let's hope there are other teams in there that's quicker. Let's hope McLaren get it together and the Alpine can give us a bit of a fun couple of races and maybe even Aston Martin. I don't know. They've got loads of wedge, haven't they, Aston Martin? So they should be all right. It's been fun.
Yeah,
I like it.
I mean, most of the teams are fairly cashed, aren't they? Ben, at the end of last season, you were fairly solidly in the Max camp. Are you still there?
No, I was never in the Max camp. I just did it for the lols.
You're just mugging me off all the time.
Yeah, I am the you know, the Donald Trump of podcast presenting.
Don't say that.
I just want to drive polarization. I want...
Let's make F1 great again.
Yeah, I want to stimulate fighting, make F1 great again. That's fantastic. Interestingly, you say about the man, I was about to say Sebastian Vettel. Look, I've got him on the head. We're going to talk
love
about
Vettel.
Max
love
Verstappen.
Him.
He's going to retire at 31, apparently, Max Verstappen, which still gives him a few years left in the paddock. This guy smashed it this year. Yeah, it wasn't the best season in Formula One. And I'll be honest, I think Ferrari and Mercedes, a couple other teams, checked out halfway through to focus on next year's car, which gives me fills me with a bit of hope. Also adding into the fact that Red Bull have got a 10% less doing bunny ears time in the aerodynamic facility. Whether that, you know, lack of air tunnel will affect them or not, I don't know. Like you say, Adrian Newey can build a car, you know, incredibly well. In terms of the season, you know, it didn't finish on a high. Brazil actually was the best race of the season.
Brazil, best race
let's
ever.
Let's come back to a sort of overview of the races and seasons, Ben, because we want to talk about a couple of highlights. But just sticking with the standings a little bit more.
Yeah.
We don't have to go much further down to find ourselves some controversies happening quite late into the season. And that's with Charles Leclerc beating Sergio Perez to second place. The coveted second place in the driver's standing, Ben.
Coveted. Is there a trophy though? There's a medal now, I think, for second place. A
Everyone gets
medal.
A medal now. It's a participation medal. They all get one.
Yeah.
And it says under fives Formula One World Championship participation medal. It's made
I
of
suspect Charles Leclerc went category. Home a hero though at the end of this just to beat Perez. No,
what? Why? I mean, I want to ask that, or maybe I'll ask Paul as well. Why was that ever in doubt? Leclerc was pole God knows how many times this season. He won races. He's simply a faster driver than Checo. It should never have even been close. That's how much faster this Red Bull is than the rest of the field. Like, it was a non-story that Sky were trying to develop into some kind of drama in the last race. I got a bit of, you know, post-traumatic stress when they arrived in Abu Dhabi. Last year's events were shocking. The more you think about it, the worse it gets. And I'm just happy everyone got through unscathed and we'll go on to next year and hopefully there's a fairer field. I echo what Checo, nice little rhyme for you.
That was lovely.
Said on Sunday, he asked his engineer, he said, when do I finish testing on Monday, whatever it was. I love that. It made it real that actually, you know, he doesn't care anymore. He just wants to get home. And there is, you know, his engineer was like, listen, you'll be finished at 1 p.m. You can catch your flight home. They're all checked out. It's finished. It was a terrible season.
Yeah, Paul, you're not a big fan of Red Bull. Are you, despite it not being an exciting place to finish, are you happy it went that way around, given Max's response to not letting Perez back at Brazil? Was it a little win for the anti-Red Bull fans?
I suppose.
Am I just being the annoying people stirring up things now? Or is it a real non-event?
I think for Red Bull not to get the 1-2 was delightful. Because they could have. Max helping him in Brazil wouldn't have actually made any difference, would it, in the end to the race result? Leclerc would have still... Leclerc would have won by a point still.
Okay.
I think. I mean, I might be wrong. I don't know. I mean, they put 150 million percent into Max's car, didn't they? And then Checo gets the table scraps, doesn't he? Yeah. He gets they build two cars, but there's no way them cars are the same. No way. But I respect Perez. I respected him more after Mexico when you saw his family, when he was waving his finger at the crowd when they were booing Hamilton, and when you see Checo's dad. I hate calling him Checo after the first time I've ever done it. Look, I'm going to do it now respectfully. Checo, I loved Checo. How your family behaved with Lewis. You were his teammate. You should have done more at McLaren. I think you got shafted there. You've got a lifeline at Red Bull and you've proven that you can drive a fast car fast. And you've got a lot of love for him. I wish he would be able to challenge for a championship next year. But I still just don't think they would. They won't give him the tools, will they? He won't get the tools. He will get the butler's. He'll get the butler's suit, won't he? Again. But will he play the game next year? He might not. He might think it's all me now. He's gonna do a He's going to do him, I think. You do you, Sergio. You do you, my friend.
Yeah, well, but it works. No, it works, Dan. The thing is, you say give him the butler's tools, it works. Because next season, look at what the drivers Ferrari have got. Look at the drivers Mercedes have got. They are absolutely level pegging. Yeah, you can't compare Hamilton's history with Russell, but Russell right now is as fast as Lewis Hamilton. I've got no doubt about that. And Sainz, Leclerc, I don't know who is the fastest driver there. Maybe Leclerc over the course of a season, maybe Sainz. I'm not too sure. They're one apiece now as teammates in terms of, you know, most points over the season. Red Bull don't. They have a designated one and two, and that will win them another title next year. And that's why would they ever change it? You know, there was talk of Danny Ric, I think, taking the step up. But Checo, he'll just sit there. He'll get his incredible paycheck, and I think he's okay as a number two gunner.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about Brazil, because, Ben, in 3 seconds, tell us the highlights of the 22 season.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Sprint race, the only sprint race of the season, again, that was absolutely fantastic. We had an incredible pole position from Magnussen, K-Mag, on pole. He didn't
Big
do Maggie, very well in the race.
Big Maggers.
Big Maggers. We also had an incredible race where we had crashes, Verstappen and Hamilton, down in that incredible left-right chicane, beautiful race circuit there into Lagos. Obviously, that was a crash. I'll be honest, you know, a lot of people thought, well, that's probably not Verstappen's fault. Boom, Verstappen gets a penalty. Not too sure what to say. I think it was
his fault. A
50-50 racing incident. You think? Really? I don't know.
Let's be honest. It was a racing incident. Verstappen was never going to back out, and Hamilton weren't going to give him the sort of room
Exactly.
That he needed. However, you stick your car on the outside of another car going round a left-hander, expect to get squeezed. And if you're getting squeezed and you want to finish the race and win the race, then you're not going to do that. He'd already won the championship. He said himself, didn't he? Don't matter to me. Mattered to Hamilton. He lost the race because of that. That's just a driver. Don't tell me that's nothing. But every driver would have done the same. If I'd have been in Max's car, I'd have done the same thing. And if I'd have been in Hamilton's car, I'd have done the same thing. When I go racing with my kids on a go-kart track, and I do, I'll put them in the wall every time. I don't care. Well, I'll put anyone in the wall.
The amount of times we've talked about it, we want to see that racing.
Yeah, of course. I want it to be like that.
We want to see the hard racing. So that was exciting. It was the highlight of the season, Brazil, of course. Any other standout moments for you, Paul, this year that you can remember?
That double pirouette with Latifi and who was it? Latifi and
Again?
Yeah, wasn't it? That double
Schumacher,
pirouette,
wasn't it?
Schumacher and Latifi, double pirouetting, and Latifi ended up in the same wall that he was in last year, which absolutely knackered everyone, didn't he? I was just like, I can't believe this. That was kind of like a funny highlight. I think Russell's pole and his win, 100% for Mercedes. They worked so hard. He was quick. That car looked planted. He drove it like an absolute beast. And he kept a 7-time world champion behind him on pace. It was just his pace, wasn't it?
My question to you, Paul, and to Ben, start with you, Paul, is, you know, Russell has outperformed Hamilton this year. He's beat him in the standings. He's off to, and as we just mentioned, he's beat him on track. Is he getting more out of that car because he's used to working with a poor car, whereas Hamilton is not used to working with a poor car anymore?
Of course he is. Not what you say anymore. Hamilton's used to put Hamilton in a washing machine and he'll make it go around a track fast, given enough time. Hamilton developed that car for the first 10 races of the season. There's no doubt he put effort into developing that car. He was running test runs. He was not racing that car. I'm not saying George has defaulted into getting more points than him. He absolutely deserves it. Button's the only person that's ever done that to him, right? Button's the only person that's ever beaten Hamilton in the same
Button
team.
And there was a third back when he was Sauber test driver or something like that. I think if you actually consider Russell, he's been on the grid now a few years. He's not brand new in Formula One. Yeah. He's fast as hell. Brilliant Formula One driver. Does Hammy care about battling for fourths and fifths? No, he's not interested in that. He's a 7-time world champion. He's only interested in a fast car at this point in his career. 8-time world champion. This way, he's got a few incredible world championships. So, no, I think Hamilton checked out a little bit. Yeah, maybe he pushed it for the first sort of 10 races. And I don't think he's the sort of driver not to just show up. But, yeah, Russell was putting a bit more effort in this season. That's my view of it.
Yeah, and he needed to, didn't he? He's a young boy. He's a new... He needs to show that he's all guts, doesn't he? And he raced that car really well. A lot of people raced their cars well this year, didn't they? I was disappointed in some drivers this year. Some that I think should have been better weren't. It was horrible to see the Haas just dive bomb, wasn't it, after a few races, because it looked like it could be semi-competitive. It was a shame that Vettel announced his retirement. I think it's too soon. I think the grid needs Sebastian Vettel. It needs that sort of hero. And to me, he was a hero, right?
He's so fast still. And this is, you know, this is the thing with Seb Vettel. And I think it's okay to segue naturally onto to talk about the man
Let's
himself. You know, four-time world champion, 53 wins. If you ignore for the moment the outrageous numbers that my favourite Schumacher and Paul's favourite Hammy have put up, so just put them away because they're on a pedestal that can't be touched. Sebastian Vettel's top of the pile. He's the best of the rest. Most wins by any driver bar the two GOATs. For a time, it looked as though Vettel and Hamilton would battle it out for a few world championships. But I think the Mercedes was just too strong in the sort of turbo hybrid era, the time when Vettel was at Ferrari.
It was tight,
champion off the track. It's incredible, though. You know, he puts a spotlight on sustainability, the environment, the LGBTQ community. He seems like a stand-up guy. I think
yeah, the others
like
have trophies, and all but Hamilton aside, you know, he has a conscience.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, him and Hamilton are the only ones really doing it. Maybe that's their age. Maybe they think they owe it. Maybe it's because they've won a few world, you know, 11 world titles between them. I think it's fair to say he was loved by everybody. I think his move to Aston Martin felt like a retirement home. I think he did focus on the development, but didn't have to deal with the intense media attention that Hammy and Lonzo still get. Clearly he loves driving. What I liked, the story that emerged this week, is he was talking about he met with the late, great Niki Lauda. Apparently there was a move to Mercedes to replace Rosberg on the table in 2017. Man, if I could go back and make that move happen, I don't know how I would have done it, but if I could make that move happen and see 2, 3, 4 years of Vettel versus Hamilton in the best car on the grid, man, the electric would it'd be insane. But instead, they chose a number two driver in Valtteri.
But would they have had the same? Because you know, they had a good relationship, them two. They respected each other. We may not have had that had they been in the same team.
Yeah, I mean, since 2007, they've won half of every race that's been raced, I believe. 50% of the races.
Wow. That's
since
a
2007.
That's a stat. That's mega.
Vettel and Hamilton combined.
That's unreal.
156 race wins in the last 15 years. I think it works out about 50% of all those wins since 2007. Like, this is insane how good Vettel was. He just didn't have the tools. His move to Ferrari was reminiscent of Alonso's move to Ferrari. It just didn't work out. You know, the prancing horse is a pile of garbage. I can't even defend them.
It's a poison chalice, isn't it?
Oh, how did they lose so many races from pole?
Well, now we're seeing Alonso follow Vettel, of course, into the Aston Martin.
I wish he'd, new I factory, wish he'd follow Vettel into retirement. You know. He's a knob.
Also, safest seat in Formula One, Lance Stroll. Well done. mean, safest seat in Formula One.
Yeah, he's not going to struggle to get backing, is he? Paul, where you stand on the Vettel fan train? Big fan?
You know what? I've said it before. I hated him when he was at Red Bull. I really did. I say you hated him, that's strong, isn't it? I despised Red Bull so much. And Vettel winning every race felt boring, didn't it? It felt so boring. And I was like, oh God, it was like back to the Schumacher Ferrari days when he was just walking races. You're like, Jesus Christ. But that being said, I also hated him at Ferrari, but I could see how difficult Ferrari are as a team. They're proper, like, they're still back in the 1950s, aren't they? You know, you can't say nothing bad about the car. You can't say nothing bad about Monza. Don't say anything bad about the Tifosi. Don't say anything. That you, be a good boy. Get in our lovely red car and win races with it, even if it's shit. And I think that made me kind of go, you know what? I don't mind Vettel. He's all right, you know. And then all of the stuff that he's done surrounding the fact that he was a big supporter of the people that have been downtrodden. And then he's shined a light on it. Him and Hamilton, like we've just said, whether it's their age or something, they just came across, and I think Vettel, maybe even more so than Hamilton, he just seems like the best man in the world. Like, if I was going to get a cuddle off someone, I'd want a cuddle off Vettel, because you would feel it, wouldn't you? You'd be like, oh. And he was going bald at Ferrari, and then all of a sudden he didn't go bald, and all of a sudden he's got this beautiful head of hair, and he's wearing
He's grown this. He's like on a hippie retreat, and he wears his little band.
Appearing
on Question Time in the UK.
Yeah, and he did that. Yeah. And he actually, you know, I watched it, and I'm not a smart man by any stretch. But I thought you have articulated so beautifully in front
of Forrest Gump line.
Yeah, in front of I'm not a smart man. I love Dr. Pepper as well. So many things that are the same about me and Forrest.
You know Vettel likes shrimp. He's my second. Second favourite driver of all time, behind Michael Schumacher. Don't know what I've got, you know, love for the Germans. He's my second favourite politician behind Matt Hancock. I've just got this absolute love for the guy. And I think he's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, he's pure.
Who doesn't like him? Yeah, he's going to be missed. And I'm sure he will not be back.
It doesn't seem like the guy who will come back.
He's retired.
Talking about potential future comebacks and holding patterns and other likeable characters on the grid, of course, Danny Ric has had a really tough time at McLaren. He hasn't had a fire lit in him, has he, for a little while. The personality, the forced friendships through social media, the kind of banter that goes around, there's almost a little bit forced at times, but it's hard to deny the smile of Danny Ric. Now, he's all but confirmed going to be the reserve driver at Red Bull, so now Paul immediately hates him. What's going on? Is he just hitting the pause button and going, do you know what, I just need a bit of time out?
I've heard that he's had a bit of a tough time, and they reported on Sky F1 that he wants to stay relevant, and he wants to stay within the development of the Formula One car so he doesn't miss out on what's going on, but he just wants to chill for a year. I think it's a bad move, but he probably should have gone to another series and just raced and then maybe come back. I think he's good enough to race in F1. He's certainly a character. Again, really likeable fella. I've never not liked him. Even when he was at Red Bull, I was like, yes, you're making Red Bull cool, aren't you? You've made it cool. I love you at Red Bull. You're brilliant. And then he went to Renault and I was like, oh, what are you doing? 2 years in a crap car. He jumped out, gone into the McLaren. I'm thinking, yes, that McLaren looked all right, didn't it? You know, let's be honest. He's won a race for them. Lando ain't.
Well, he won a race for him, and Lando Monza hasn't. You know, but look at this year. He's got less points than Bottas in the Alfa Romeo. You know, that Alfa Romeo was bit more or less plumb last few races alongside Haas. I just think Daniel Ricciardo has not been that good for McLaren. I would always defend him. I think he's brilliant. I did think he was a fast driver, but he's been smashed by Lando Norris, and I don't think Lando is the most special driver on the grid.
No, I think he is good,
but I would not put him in the bracket of Russell, Leclerc, and Verstappen in terms of young drivers.
Nah, he's not even on the same paragraph, is he? For me,
no.
And he's changing his number.
This is, you know,
right? He's changing his number. So then the Lando Norris thing, which is the most perfect bit of branding I've ever seen in my life, all of a sudden it's not going to. Like, you're a dickhead. There you go, done. I've said that before about him. Dickhead, mate.
Yeah, I like how we put this podcast to an 18 and overs just so Paul can call Lando Norris a dickhead. Do you know what, actually, he is well liked across the grid. I've got some mates, Formula One fans. They love him. They think he's absolutely fantastic. They think he's super fast. He's taken that McLaren to a podium this year. You know, it's a slow McLaren.
Well done, mate. Well done.
But we saw Danny Rick. We saw Danny Rick once in Mexico show the old Danny Rick, and he just smashed it into the side of people. He was fantastic. I think he's going to enjoy his retirement year. He's going to basically doing podiums in Las Vegas for a year. I don't know. Podiums, donuts, where they spin the car. Yeah.
It's definitely called donuts. I really like them. I like McLaren. I'm a McLaren fan, but the car looked gorgeous at the beginning of this year.
It looks like garbage
at the end of this year. Like they've just thrown sponsorships at it in the dark.
There was like a little 3-minute documentary on their livery for Abu Dhabi. They cut out all of the, you know, all of the sponsors that they had that they've gathered over the year. They cut them out. They made Danny Rick put them into a shoe, just like when he did his shoey. He drank it and then he threw it up all over a model of a McLaren, the Lego one that they were. And then they're like, yeah, that looks great, Danny. Brilliant.
That's what it looks like.
It's awful. Horrible thing.
Have McLaren been one of those teams that have checked out this season with the focus with their engineers and factories, laboratories?
They've got a lot going on next year in other race series.
Do you think they're too spread out now? They're
going into Formula E, is it, as well, I think? And then whatever else. And then IndyCar, of course, potentially. But, you know, McLaren's a racing team. They're a racing outfit.
I think, you know, McLaren are one of these teams that, you know, the cost cap affects McLaren. McLaren aren't a Haas of the world. The cost cap is something that will affect a team as big as McLaren Racing. They're established, incredibly established Formula One team. The cost cap next year is reducing to $135 million.
What will they do?
So it's going to be down $8 million. Having said that, though, it does go up in rise in line with inflation. So 2023 cost cap, as it stands, is going to be higher than 2022's because of the worldwide
rise. Is that for all the teams or just Red Bulls?
Hey, that catering cost for Red Bull ain't going to pay for itself.
Obviously, those big extra big champagne bottles need flying in from somewhere.
Is it £6.5 million worth of chicken wings, wasn't it? That's what they tried to say. Chicken wings.
It's that was just for Vettel and his family. Vettel, Verstappen. Oh, I don't know which names they are. Imagine if I hosted a sports podcast. Crazy. looking at next year, McLaren are not going to just jump forward, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, the cost cap is going to affect them. They are not going to leap a second and a half forward in the field. So do not expect Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri to do anything next year. Although Oscar Piastri is Danny Ricciardo in about 2011. So listen, we're going to be excited about that. But next year, all we have to hope is that Mercedes can continue the Brazil speed they showed and that Ferrari can stop doing pit stops.
ban pit stops and Ferrari might finish a race.
I think we bring back
before we move on slightly.
That's what I reckon.
We've talked about
Ferrari,
this though.
Ferrari about that as well.
Crazy.
Before we move on slightly, I want to quiz you slightly. Who is at the bottom of the table? Who's at the naff end? Who should
Mick
be relegated
Schumacher
to Formula 2?
Yeah, Schumi. Yeah, sorry, you're I hate
wrong
to say it.
No, we're not wrong.
What do you mean at
you
the bottom
wrong
of the table? Oh, it was
but you mean
Hulk,
physically
wasn't it
on points?
Yeah, on points.
Latifi.
No.
Yeah, he got
it is
point.
Nico Hülkenberg.
Yeah, so I just said the Hulk, because he did one race for Aston. Was it for Aston?
He is. So, you know, it's clearly not that great.
Did he actually race Bahrain, was it?
And Nick De Vries with 2 points. So,
De Vries, he got, what was it, one race, 2 points in the Williams? It took Russell 53 races or something like that.
Yeah, there you go. So there's both talents looking for.
He's funny looking, isn't he, De Vries? When you look at him,
do you see they strapped him to that trolley and cut him over to?
He looks like
they just took him right out.
He just looks so weird. I look at his head and I think it's like looking at someone from 1917. Just a very odd shaped person, isn't he? Like, and Piastri, odd. And
not everyone can be Lando Norris, you know.
Sure.
Paul.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank God,
Ben. Cost cap. We've talked about it. We've hinted at it. We're not going to dive into it. It's one of the bigger controversies this year, and that is, of course, that Red Bull got fined for a minor breach of the cost cap. And they've put it down to an accounting error around catering. But a breach is a breach, and suffice to say, they've been fined 7 million euros, something in that region, along with a reduction of 10% in their modelling time. So that's both computational fluid dynamics and air tunnel time. So 7 million euros as a fine is a lot of money, right? That's going to go to the FIA. Have you both heard of the new race series coming next year? With three races on each weekend, with one weekend on at least one weekend on a Formula One weekend, and that is the Formula One Academy, a female only series. Have you both heard about this?
Briefly.
We spoke about it before we started recording, I believe. So I've heard about it, yes. Yes, I have.
Don't see behind the curtain.
Yeah,
Paul.
You're breaking the fifth wall there, Paul.
Sorry.
But suffice to say, this is a new Formula One, essentially Formula One sponsored race series targeting females in motorsport to give them another rung in the ladder into the higher Formula Series, Formula 3, Formula 2, Formula 1, and W Series. Many would say, well, what about W Series? This is aimed at a lower level. But Ben, the reason I mentioned that in relation to cost cap...
There's a lower level than W Series? Question mark. I don't mean that in a derogatory female way.
It sounded derogatory. The cars
are slow. They're slow cars, right? They're like F3.
Yeah,
are they slower than F3?
But it's, you know, the FIA's mantra is, how can we delay the arrival of women in Formula One?
Certainly seems like that.
That is the way it is. There's no denying. You can't shy away from that. Formula One is a man's world, and it's quite frankly terrible that they keep coming up with these new ideas. W Series, yeah, all female drivers academy, Formula One. They can be run by F2 and F3 teams. You know, we can have a 15 car grid, 21 races, three race events. You got a bit of sprint racing, and it will include at least one F1 race weekend, I believe. So there will be kind of tied in a little bit, but this is another ploy to keep women off the main grid of Formula One. No doubt about it. It's disgusting, isn't it?
So just put them in
W Series had to cancel their last three races last season because of lack of funding, right? Jamie Chadwick didn't know she was going to get paid. Might not have been yet. I don't know how that's ended. But we're not talking insane amounts of money here compared to what has been fined to Red Bull. So the money is there. It's just where they choose to spend it. So, and here's a number for you. The lack of funding available, this is from a Guardian article about the news this week. The lack of funding available to back young women entering motorsport has been a real hurdle. And F1 is looking to go some way to overcome this. It will subsidise each car with a budget of €150,000.
Wow.
Which the driver will have to match with their own backing, and the teams, which will be a mix of F2 and F3 teams, will cover remaining costs. So there's not a lot of there's not a lot of money being pumped into this. But is it a good thing that it's happening, or is it still just whatever the washing term is for this?
Utter garbage. Absolute, yeah. Well, there is a washing term for it. It's called misogyny. You know, it's basically rife in Formula One. It's a big, big problem at the top of the level. 150 grand. Nicholas Latifi's got watches worth more than that. Like, it's just absolutely stupid. And it is all to keep it as a male formula. And I'm going to ask this hard question to Paul. Hamilton, whether he's second behind Schumacher or the best of all time, he's obviously in the question. Take Hamilton off the grid and Vettel off the grid, and whether you like him or not, take Alonso off the grid. Is this the best crop of drivers in the world?
No.
Of course it's not.
It's just about how much money they've got. Yeah, take Stroll off the grid, take Latifi off the grid, take Mick Schumacher off the grid, take Hülkenberg off the grid.
Lando
off the grid, take don't take Russell off the grid. Don't be so bloody stupid.
I mean, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there are thousands of drivers out there that could race an F1 car. You could put 20 unknown people in those cars and enjoy the formula just as much as if you had Lewis and all the rest in there.
But would it sell as many tickets? That is what you need. You need that celebrity, and that's what the Netflix Drive to Survive series has proven, that Formula One racing can come secondary to people like Lando, Leclerc, you know, faces in Formula One.
I'm not sure I agree with that. I know what you're saying.
People watched it this year in their droves. Texas this year was the most attended Formula One race in the history of the sport.
They got nothing else to do there.
It was a terrible race.
There's only two things come from Texas.
To be fair, it's pretty close to Mexico. And I think Mexico accounted for 300,000 of those. So, yeah, fair enough.
I don't disagree. Ben, you are a smart man and you know a lot about things. And I don't disagree with you. But what I'm saying is the spectacle of motorsport will always be, it will always be spectacular, because the 150 people that make Lewis's car do what it does will still make the car do what it does. And would it be more exciting or less exciting to watch if you didn't even know who was driving the car? There's an idea. Put 20 people in a car, don't know who any of them are. There's no names. There's just numbers. Like, this is,
as long as they're better, like, are we seeing the best young carters able to make the gap? Or is it a case of this female one at F1 Drivers Academy, which is 150K we'll give you, but also you need to match 150K. Well, actually, Jenson Button needed 100K. Him and his dad scrambled it together all those years ago to get his first test in a Formula One car. That's in the millions now, probably the tens of millions. So we're not actually going to see any Lewis Hamiltons from Stevenage. I'm going to post it on Twitter tonight because I actually watched it today. It was a BBC newsreel from way back, I think in 97. And Lewis Hamilton was sort of, I think, 11 years old. And it was showing him karting. It was talking to his dad in the house, and the way Lewis spoke. You know, his dad had to work three jobs to be able to put Lewis on a karting grid. And that sheer driving ability took Lewis to the top of the world in Formula One. Exactly the same happened with Sebastian Vettel and Michael Schumacher and the greats, Alain Prost, Niki Lauda. You know, these are greats. They did not come from this millionaire background. Formula One is changing so rapidly, and I'm scared we're going to see more of this season. And I don't want to go on a rampage, but this season was not good from a purist, Paul. There was some bad racing.
There was terrible racing, because a lot of them aren't, like you were saying, they're not great, are they? They're money seats, yeah? They're there to keep the team going. They've got, you know, Latifi's coming from Keiko and he's got loads of dollar. Lance Stroll, I don't mind him. I think he's all right. But yeah, his dad's a billionaire, so result. Yeah, you've got a driver that like you said, he'll never lose that seat, will he? He'll literally have to die.
Yeah, he's glued to that seat.
But when you go back to what you were saying about the karting in 97 and 98 with Lewis and stuff, there was a carter who beat Lewis regularly. There was a guy that used to beat Senna all the time. He was like, when Senna came over here and karted in Europe, there was a guy that beat him all the time. But he didn't make it, did he?
Yeah.
And that you're always going to... It's going to be luck, isn't it? It's going to be opportunity. It's going to be that Ron... I nearly said Ron Howard. It's not Ron Howard. Ron Dennis.
Ron Dennis. Ron Howard, great movie. I mean, you know, he can put you in the seat.
But Ron Dennis, he saw something in Lewis. He had a feeling, an inkling. He liked the way he raced. Whatever it might be, he gravitated towards Lewis based on whatever he did it for. And it was a choice made by him. And then Lewis is getting a bit of backing. His dad's not struggling as much. They can put a bit more time into the development of, you know, how he's the car and all that sort of stuff. And that helps him get to where he's got to. If it could have happened to five other kids, you know, it was just that Ron chose him as the driver. He saw something and he was like, that's it. That's for me. It could have been someone else, right? We could never have heard of Lewis Hamilton, and it could be Dave Jones from Bracklesham, Bay, or whatever. But someone's got to see something in you, isn't there? Someone's got to have there's got to be a spark. Like Briatore would have seen Alonso when he drove in the Minardi, and he's like, yes, mate, I'm taking him. Just like when Schumacher was in his races with Eddie Jordan. Eddie Jordan sees it. He's like, right, let's get that fella in the car. Next thing you know, he's gone.
Yeah, put him in, and the next season he's in the Benetton.
Same with Barrichello and stuff. All of these, I think we look at the 90s and the early noughties, and we probably had the best drivers, but there was always ones that weren't great, was there? You had Zanardi went into the Williams, great driver. You know, we had Sebastian, who was the one who won all the IndyCar? He came and drove for Toro Rosso, the American dude.
Sebastian Bourdais.
Driver, got in an F1 car, absolute dog shit. It's about how that car's developed around the driver as well, isn't it? Lewis was amazing when he was in a McLaren.
Yeah.
He took a car that couldn't walk to the grid, and he won races in it. It's the first season he hasn't won a race.
That's a fair point. And I think, Paul, that will actually defend the point, basically, because, you know, look at the Sebastian Bourdais, look at the Nick Hartleys, Brendan Hartleys, rather. Look at the people that, you know, are actually incredible in endurance racing, but just cannot cut it in Formula One. Sato, you know, absolutely. These drivers never quite cut it in Formula One, just did so many things in other formulas. Juan Pablo Montoya, but he was actually pretty damn fast in Formula One. What a great driver. Overall, the season, we still need the drivers. We still need the best drivers. And I'm confident now that Russell Verstappen, who is so quick, whether you like him or not, Max, is blisteringly fast.
Yeah, he's fast.
Russell, Verstappen and Leclerc, and I think Sainz might be in there. Maybe Alonso will be able to catch up. I don't know, Dan. Put it this way. I'm already excited for the new year. This is the earliest a Formula One season has finished for 12 years. Can you believe it?
Going to be amongst the latest as well. We're going to get into the next season, and let's hope next season that Formula One does put its money where its mouth is and let us be able to see and view and observe this Formula Academy racing and not hide it behind YouTube channels or obscure TV programming, because that's a surefire way to kill the series before it starts.
Scrap it next year.
That's Paul's verdict.
Take the W Series, take the women that are driving them W Series cars and stick them in an F1 team and make the teams have to use them in a practice session every weekend. End of.
Like one session. A women's only team, like the Iron Dames in WC, you know, that kind of
approach. But the thing is, what Paul does there, you suddenly then see visible pathways, and girls, young girls around the world can see that someone looks like them is in a Formula One car on a Formula One weekend.
Put Jamie Chadwick in a Williams and let her pull out of the garage and nail a lap and come within 3 or 4 tenths of anyone else on that grid, and hundreds of thousands of girls are going, that could be me. All they've got to do is do that. But, I need the development time. We need to make sure that...
They have to suppress it. They have to suppress it for as long as they can, because that's a Formula One. It's run by men, and it's a snapshot. It's a problem.
Okay, so clearly many years to go for Formula One to catch up with where they should be in that respect. Next year, Ben, Paul, we should have had 24 races, an epically long season. Ben, as you say, starting earlier than it has done for over a decade, not finishing until the 26th, I think it is, of November. That is a long time to want and need to subscribe to Sky Sports. I'm not sure I'm going to. Might just witness the highlights on Channel 4 next year. But it was going to be 24 races, Ben, Paul. It's now only 23. So we've got Vegas coming. But China is once again not making it onto the calendar because of its zero COVID policy. Can you believe it? Still, COVID is affecting Formula One.
At least it's...
I can believe it.
Yeah, I mean...
I can believe it, Dan. It's rife around the world, absolutely. One thing I would say with the races next year is we should right now say who's going to win. And I'm going to back Max Verstappen and Red Bull to just carry on. 3-time world champion. Rolling
out. No chance.
There you go, Paul.
Yeah, it's every chance. Heart or head? Heart or head?
Heart.
Lewis. Head. please. No, Russell.
Paul.
Russell.
Mercedes Resurgence.
Yeah, that would be great. See them two battling out for the title. That'd
come
be
on,
wonderful.
Russell.
I can get on board with that.
Yeah,
and
amazing.
We may see Ferrari doing something different because, of course, the rumours are that Mattia Binotto will not be with the team leading them into the new season, Ben, Paul. It's likely, according to the rumours, to be Frederic Vasseur currently at Alfa Romeo. What are your thoughts on that?
To follow that up, Dan, is if people get a chance to have a little Google of Mattia Binotto and look where he came from. Mattia Binotto was a wrench hand. He was a simple technician, mechanic in the garage, worked his way up from absolutely nowhere to run Ferrari Formula One team. Honestly, if you get a chance to have a look at Mattia Binotto, his history, Arrivabene, is it? Well, you know, all the different sort of
Arrivabene.
Arrivabene. There's some fantastic names, right? They've all sort of come up through, and this is interesting. But with Vasseur, they're taking someone that's embedded within Alfa Romeo and bringing them across. So it'd be interesting to see how that works.
Do you know why they've done
established.
That? You know why they've done it? Because the last time they were any good, they had a Frenchman running the team, and now they've gone with a Frenchman again, right?
He's Swiss, isn't he?
Same thing.
Isn't he Swiss?
No.
Same thing.
And
to finish on that bombshell.
It's the same thing. Am I wrong? Oh, my God. Please edit this. I thought it was Swiss.
Do you mean, am I wrong?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Listen, you know.
That's the second hole you found yourself
there
in.
There is some connections between Switzerland and French, so that's okay.
French, Swiss,
It's
Canadian.
A French-sounding name, that's for sure.
Vasseur.
All right. So, top thing that you're looking forward to next season, Ben?
I'm interested to see if the Ferrari will be Vasseur without Binotto.
Ooh, nice pun. Paul, what are you looking forward to next year?
Someone chinning Max Verstappen live on TV, just nutting him straight out. That'd be amazing. It's now, Perez.
There's been a lot of talk online about... online
about inciting
etiquette,
violence,
being kind regardless of whether you like people or not, but not being, you know, this and the other. Paul's looking forward to violence against a person.
I'm going to translate for our listeners what Paul means by that. Basically, what he means is he wants to see on-track battles. That's what he means by punches, as in on-track battles between Verstappen and a Mercedes. And he wants a Mercedes to come out on top, the knockout win. So that is the translation of what Paul meant.
Yes,
there.
That is exactly what I meant. I am not condoning violence on another human being. Of course I wouldn't do that. I would like to see lots of battles all the way through the grid. I'd like to see the teams that need to close a gap, close the gap. And let's see whether or not this affects Red Bull, the development stuff, the wind tunnel stuff. I mean, they've obviously got their own underground lair. Like, we've all seen James Bond films and the Minions films, and they've definitely got their own wind tunnel somewhere. They've got an underground test track. You know, 100%. I imagine they've got submarines with boats inside them and all sorts of
patrol
cool. Like, they've got a volcano with a really cool lair where Max sort of
big
hangs
sliding
out.
Sliding doors.
Yeah, man. Let's see what happens. Mercedes are 10 months behind Red Bull, so I am not confident that they're going to be able to challenge for a championship next season.
There you go.
But we'll see, won't we? We'll see.
I was looking forward to it being the last year. Thanks for asking, by the way. Looking forward to it being the last year that Sky Sports were going to have rights to the TV in the UK, but they've extended to the end of the decade. So it's Sky Sports or bust for us in the UK at the moment. But wherever you're watching, you can, of course, find our comments on Twitter and Instagram at Wednesday Pod on either. Ben, Paul, you can go back to your cupboard now, Paul. Thank you for joining us once again for the Formula One 2022 season.
Thanks.
We'll be back with you, no doubt, in February as the cars start rolling out with their new liveries for 2023. and we start talking about Drive to Survive, we start talking about the 5th of March, and we start subscribing to Sky Sports once again. But here we are. It's a sport we love to hate and hate to love. But all that's left for this week's show is for me to say I've been Dan.
I've been Ben.
And I have been Paul.
Until next, last Wednesday of the week. Be kind. Bye-bye.